Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike D'Antilia along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:20 today. We'll have on with us Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff to talk sights NFL. At 5:45, Steve Geller will join us. It'll be our pick six segment. And 6:25, Ollie Cosell will be on the NBA writer covering the New Orleans Pelicans and the NBA. And then at 7 o'clock, the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. And his guest tonight will be Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis. I think Jake DeLome also.
Yeah, we're just talking about the Raging Cajuns.
That Cajun. He sort of talked like me a little bit. He's a Prairie Cajun. Jake and I, we've talked that out already.
Jake's a cool dude.
Oh, man, Jake. Is something. And then at 8 o'clock, it is the debut of the Pelicans weekly show. And at 8:30, tip-off, pregame between the Pelicans and the Golden State Warriors. And at 9 o'clock, tip-off right here on the Big 870 WWL, Pelicans play the Golden State Warriors. Charlie, we went through the first five players, 28 years of age or younger. Could they start on every team? Some teams, just an average guy. As a starter, I didn't ask about number one or number two receiver. It was not the question. The question was, could he start? So the comprehension comes in play here. That was the question.
Chris Olave, for those concerned, would not be a number one on every single team in the NFL.
No, but he is
enough.
A starter. But yeah, on every that was the question.
He's at least at the very worst when you have those stud like wide receiver 1-2 duos.
You're going to be
in,
a
like,
two
Cincinnati or something
you're
like that.
Be a
like,
two.
You're either going to be a two or a three.
Yeah,
and that's what you're looking at when you have the top receivers in the NFL. Yeah, Chris Olave is not going to be the wide receiver one on Dallas.
No.
He's not going to be the wide receiver one in Minnesota. Like, I don't know, dude.
It is, but that was the question I asked. So, again, like I say, sometime we got comprehension.
Just wanted to make sure everyone knows.
Yeah, got it. Three guys, 25 years of age. And so I'll get your comments because I got an NFL scout, an NFL director of player personnel, myself, Bobby's comments. First one off the bat, Pete Werner. Is he a starter on every team? Some teams, just a regular starter.
Are we playing three linebackers?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Because you there's a little bit of a flex in here because depending on who you play, you'll play three or you'll play a nickel corner.
Yeah, exactly. You either play like the five DBs and stuff like that. Okay.
That's why it got broke, I'm going to tell you, before you give your answer. That's
I'll say how, some.
Yeah. That everybody's across the board with that some because of the fact he wouldn't start for every team in the
I
NFL.
I agree.
But he's a good starter for this football team. And they much better with him than without him. You saw him and DeMario Davis, I think, make a good kind of Batman and Robin combination there. With that, he's not the biggest guy in the world. Sometimes struggles in the coverage part of the game, but he's a really good open field tackler, can make plays out on the flat. And so everybody agreed that he would start for some teams, but not every team. The other player is Alante Taylor.
I like Alante Taylor, Mike.
Okay, and so I'll get your answer. And so the nickel comes into play here.
I agree, and I think he's not the top nickel corner, but I would say he's in the top echelon, upper echelon of nickel corners. So similar to my answer for Pete Werner, I would say some.
Okay, you broke the tie. I, along with the NFL scout, said he could start for every team.
Every team?
At either outside corner or in the nickel. Bobby and the director of
See, I'm looking
NFL
at it just as a nickel
you,
corner.
Say, for some teams.
So I guess, yeah, when we go
but
back
it's
to...
it's close.
To,
it's
you know,
close.
The flexibility of potentially moving him on the outside.
Stick with the some because that's your first thoughts, and so you
well it's my first thoughts because I was thinking of them just as a nickel. If the flexibility outside, I'll stick with some because there are some really good secondaries out there,
yes,
obviously I think the Saints have a great secondary when healthy. Paulson and Debo going down really stinks, but I love Alante Taylor, and I'm still saying some, but it's kind of close. It's not like a borderline pick.
I got you. This one, Bob and I kind of, we thought about it for a long time. Chase Young, 25 years old, second overall pick in the draft.
I'm not bought in, Mike. I'm not.
Either start for every team, some teams, starter. Basically, he's a regular guy.
Coming into this year, you were fired. Like, we were all fired up about Chase Young, everything we were hearing, and the pressures are there. I think he's top 10 in the NFL in quarterback pressures.
He is.
He doesn't play well against the run.
Nope.
And he doesn't get home as often as you would expect with the amount of pressures that he has. So while pressures are one thing, Bobby always says this, you got to get the quarterback on the ground. And there are plays that you see, Chase Young take off occasionally, especially against the run. And if you're game planning to go against the Saints defense, we've talked about their rushing defense has struggled in basically the past 4 weeks. They looked better against the Chargers, but that was a nice step up in competition as well. I would say just starter, Mike. I don't think he's a starter for every team. I think he's kind of a starter for, I would say, maybe half the league. Okay. So we all
agree that he could start for some teams.
Yeah.
But, the director of player personnel, I'll give you his comment. He said, Mike, tremendous potential. He's got all the athletic skills you're looking for, but there's a missing piece. His numbers are not better. He's outstanding getting pressure. Where's the sacks?
Exactly.
You got to make game-changing plays. He said, to answer your question, the way it's posed, he would start on some teams, but I don't raise the eyebrows on Chase Young. That was the comment from a director of player personnel.
What's going to be interesting is what's going to happen with him contract-wise after this season. Because unless he starts getting raring up and going, Mike, and starts putting up some big sack numbers,
getting the money he was looking for,
he's not going to get that money that he was looking for. And that's what, we've talked about his motivation entering this year, because had he had a massive season where he reaches that double-digit sack total for the first time in his NFL career, and the big P word, the potential to do it, yeah, it's there, but you got to do it. And he just hasn't done it yet. But had he done it, and had he been looking at it, he would have probably gotten a huge contract this offseason.
No question about it. Everybody's looking for pass rushers.
Yeah.
But again, I think that director of player personnel said it best. There's something missing here. You can get the pressure, but not making the game-changing play. And I think this is why you're 2-16. Okay, you did have injuries, yes. But if you can only come up with 8 guys in a 53-man roster that are 28 years of age or younger, that's why you're in the shape. Come on, Isaiah Foskey, what he's doing, playing special teams?
He's not even a starter on his own team.
Yeah, and he's a special teams guy.
A second-round pick.
Second-round pick. Nick Saldivari, who you traded up for in round 4, he's hurt all the time.
Yep.
And then Peyton Turner.
Turner and Kendra Miller are two sides of the same coin, like Bobby was saying.
And both guys with injuries. Now, the one thing I'll say with Kendra, you can see he got talent. He got talent, but, okay, the best of ability is availability. You don't have that. Then Trevor Penning, I asked that to Bob just to poke him. I said, you want me to put Penning on this list? He looked at me, what? Penning? He said, Mike, I think he starts for a couple teams, but he don't start for most teams in this league.
So what we end up with, Mike, as far as starting for every team, you
McCoy,
and I? McCoy, Lattimore.
Fuaga, Olave.
And Lattimore, right?
Yep.
And Fuaga.
And then for and some Olave. Teams, yeah. is Granderson, Werner, Alante Taylor. Chase Young probably got the one point where, he probably could start for a few teams, but not every team. And then you think about, I think, to be determined, Brian Brise. I think there's something there as a pass rusher, but he gets blown. He gets washed away in run support. He got to learn how to play lower. And Jordan Howden, who I think all of us thought had some potential there, it's almost like he's plateaued.
I'll say, Mike, is this is a good safety class.
Need more than safety.
It's a good – I mean, there's multiple positions that are good for this upcoming class, at edge rusher and safety and, wide receiver. There's some good players there. So, you got to start hitting on draft picks, though, some point.
That, to me, because you got yourself caught in a financial bind, and the only way to get out of it is hit on picks that you don't have to keep extending contracts to players who's not going to be there pretty soon. And, you see some of your guys like a Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu. Okay, they in the winter years of their football careers, in the winter years. and you're still going to be paying them after they've retired. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. And we'll go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, and we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Stink, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's my pleasure. Good to be with you guys.
Right off the bat, I don't know how much you saw the Saints' Chargers, but again, man, to be bad and boring, Mark, you're going to get – things ain't good. Now, I know this week you're going to get Derek Carr. Most likely he'll be back against the Panthers. Look who you're playing here. But, you know, this team just lacks playmakers on both sides of the football, not only just on offense, but also on the defensive side of the football. You've gotten old there, too. And, man, for a lot of Saints fans, their deal is, okay, we've seen this show before. If you're old enough, you've seen it before of some bad and boring football.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, like I thought at the beginning of the year, what they did the first two games of the year, the way they dismantled Dallas, like, it was exciting, right? I mean, you did have some playmakers on the offensive side of the football. Now you've had a bunch of injuries. Derek Carr went down. You've had receivers that have been injured. Offensive line, which is always the biggest thing to me. Like, when that group falls apart, then you're in deep trouble. So that was, you know, that was big. And the running game fell apart because the O-line fell apart. Some, like I said, some of the receivers, you know, got injured. And so ultimately, that was bad. And I think you're 100% right about the defense. It just looked old. Like, it just looked less explosive than it's looked. And it's tough, you know. I mean, how much of a shot in the arm, if Derek Carr does come back, is that for your team? Probably a big shot in the arm. Playing Carolina is probably the biggest shot in the arm because they're awful. They're just awful. But, you know, even a win there doesn't really do a whole lot for people, I don't think, because they know, you know, they know how bad Carolina. Carolina is not an NFL franchise as currently constructed, so they know how bad that, you know, that football team is.
Mark, you got to do a game this weekend. I was talking to Jen Hale about it before the game, and, you know, a lot of talk certainly about Tua and the concussions and how that would work out. But I told her, I'm just telling you, the Cardinals – man, they play hard. Now, sometimes, you know, the results aren't what you want. But when you got Kyler Murray and they got an explosive tight end who can move the chains, now all of a sudden, Marvin Harrison Jr. and their defense is aggressive. They make mistakes, but they're aggressive. You see a young team, man, they give you everything they've got on every snap. And I'm impressed in what we've seen with the Cardinals this year.
Yeah, you'd have to be. You know, Kyler Murray really made some strides in that game. And where he struggles sometimes is he's so athletically gifted that when he gets off his first read, so if he's on progression and the first read is open and he hits the top of his drop, man, he's deadly accurate. But sometimes he gets so sped up in the pocket because he's such an athlete that his feet are faster than the receivers coming out of their breaks. So everything's timed up in the offense in the passing game. So when you hit the first step, you know, or the last step in your drop, that first guy should be open. If he's not, then you hitch up, and that hitch is timed up to the second progression. So that guy should be open. And so sometimes Kyler's so quick through that hitch up that he is already ahead of the receiver, and the receiver hasn't come out of his break yet. So then he hitches up one more time, and guess what? Well, now he's way ahead of the third receiver, where the third receiver is supposed to be. And so the whole thing gets screwed up, and then there's inaccurate throws. You're a little bit early, or you have to hold on to the ball, and then you become a little bit late. So I thought he was so much better in that regard in this particular game. And we talked about it. Kyler and I have talked about it a couple of different times, but we talked about it a bunch Saturday afternoon. And I just saw a real progression in a much better understanding and a much better pace in the pocket. Then they developed some over routes where Marvin Harrison Jr. really excelled in, you know, the shallow cross, the low cross, the deep overs, you know, coming from one side of the field to the other side of the field, the intermediate route area. And I thought they really found a connection there where they've been struggling with some of their connections as of late, being on the same page, you know, one guy running a deep route, the other guy throwing it, you know, throwing a hitch or vice versa. So, like, I thought that was much better. They've always got James Conner, who is a, you know, is one of the best backs in the National Football League that nobody talks about. Yeah. So, but I think the thing you point out, and I think this is the thing that excites me, Jonathan Gannon, their head coach, man, he's very demanding, but those guys play their butts off. Yep. And I'm telling you, they're not a very talented defense. They just flat aren't. They've had a bunch of injuries, and they're not real talented on the front seven. But they fly around. Buda Baker has blatant disregard for his own well-being. So does Jalen Thompson. They fly around. Even like two weeks ago when they beat the Chargers, the LA Chargers, Starling Thomas got beat on a cover three where he sits down and the inside receiver is supposed to split those two and stay deeper than the deepest. He gets beat, right, and he just turns and sprints, causes a fumble right on the 1 yard line, and the ball goes through the end zone. They get the ball back. That's the difference between winning and losing, is that kind of effort, and they made that effort, and they make it consistently.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Mark, I was talking to Bobby about this last night. And for whatever reason, guys have a niche against a certain team. They really play well, and maybe it's not quite as good against somebody else. And we see this with Kirk Cousins. Man, he's played unbelievable against the Saints at times. I don't care if he was with the then Washington Redskins or the Minnesota Vikings, Atlanta. And then he's doing the exact same thing against Tampa Bay. You look at those two games, the ball rarely touched the ground. He's been red hot, and yet we saw him the week before against Seattle. He was El Stinko. So as an NFL player, sort of describe that. Well, why are you so good maybe against one opponent, And it doesn't work with the other guy?
Yeah, because they play different styles, and they play different defenses, and they play different schemes and different personnel. I just go back to my own career. When I first came to the league with the Washington Redskins, the Philadelphia Eagles were the number one defense in football. Number one. And I mean, they had Clyde Simmons, and they had Reggie White, and Jerome Brown, and Mike Pitts, and Byron Evans, and Anthony Allen, and on and on and on it goes, man. They were loaded. Seth Joyner, and yet we always could beat them. The way we matched up with them, and our scheme just matched up with what they did defensively, and we would always beat them. But then we'd play the Giants, and we could never beat the Giants. Like, we just couldn't beat the Giants. But the Giants couldn't beat Philly. And so at the end of the day, everybody at the end of the day is 2-2. And so it was just a really interesting, it was an interesting kind of matchup for everybody in those days, in the late 80s, early 90s. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's just the way teams attack you and the personnel they have where you just really match up well against them. And, it's what's the old saying, that styles make fights?
Yep.
And that's what it comes down to in the NFL sometimes. Sometimes your scheme and your personnel just fits our eye. We just love it, and we excel against it.
Charlie?
Mark, looking at the Colts' decision today, I think it surprised a lot of folks to bench Anthony Richardson for Joe Flacco, the backup, who has played for the Colts so far this year. We all remember what he did last year with Cleveland. But Mike and I were talking a little bit about this. I want to get your thoughts on it. It just feels like Flacco provides more of the steady hand at this point based off of what we've seen from Anthony Richardson, where you see the flashes, right? Like the 70-yard touchdown throws and, the beautiful deep balls that he can just uncork. But then the accuracy issues, I think he was 2 of 15 in the first half against Houston this past week. He finished like 10 of 32, I believe. Just the inconsistencies at quarterback play for a Colts team that's 4-4, that's trying to make the playoffs. Like, your thoughts on this move to go to Joe Flacco?
And you can't tap out.
Oh, yeah, obviously his comments about being tired. I don't let that go by the wayside too, Mark. I also wanted to get your comments on that too.
Yeah, well, first off, I'd have to bench him just for being stupid enough to admit that he tapped out because he was tired. Like, you can't. That's your quarterback, dude. Stop it. I think he's completing like 44% of his passes on the season. I mean, yep. He's awful. And, like, this in a day and age where everything is created to be effective for the offense, and all the quick passing game and all the bubble screens and everything else, and your 44% completion percentage, give me a break, dude. That is awful. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. And, people get enamored, and this happens in the draft all the time. People get enamored with, you hear it all the time, arm talent and arm strength, and, wow, that dude threw it 70 yards in the air. You know how many times you throw it 70 yards in the air in any given season? Twice. Two Hail Marys that you throw. That's it. Like, the average deep ball, a deep ball comes down. First off, a deep ball, a lot of people won't know this. A deep ball is thrown off a five-step drop with no hitch. So it's a five-step drop, maybe a roll of the shoulder, maybe one hitch. And you launch it, but it's basically no hitch. So it's going, like, it's out soon or quick. So those are the type of things where I'll upkick a five-step drop because I know I'm not going to give up a sack. Like, a five-step drop doesn't have a hitch. So if we get all go, I know I'm treating that like a run play. And so the ball is out super quick, and the ball comes down between 42 and 47 yards, somewhere in there. So all that arm talent stuff is stupid. Boring is what wins in the National Football League. Can I put the ball on my receivers? Can I communicate leverage, defensive leverage, with my ball placement? And can I have my guys catch the ball and then spin out and get me an extra 5 to 6 yards? And that's how you put drives together. That's how you keep drives. That's how you convert on third down. Those are the things that matter in the National Football League, not 70-yard bombs. Nobody cares. And the other thing is if your only true asset's your ability to be an athlete and scramble around, you're going to get hurt. And Anthony Richards has been hurt a bunch. So, it just is, like, it doesn't surprise. It surprises me that it took this long. It was kind of like what was going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree.
The past, he looked like he was in a witness relocation program. I want to say, blink twice if you're in trouble. When he kept saying, no, Deshaun Watson gives us the best chance to win, because he was lying through his teeth. And then all of a sudden, Jameis comes out there and puts 300-plus yards up a passing over the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Jameis will give you a chance to catch the ball, if you're on the defensive side of the ball, and the Ravens dropped it. But the bottom line is, like, Deshaun Watson is awful, and so is Anthony Richardson at this point.
Mark, before we let you run, I wanted to get your thoughts on Bryce Young. I think that the expectation, they haven't officially announced if it's going to be Bryce or Andy for this upcoming matchup against the Saints in Carolina.
If you're the Saints, you hope it's Bryce.
You hope it is Bryce. I would agree. I think Bryce Young has like a historically bad win-loss record in the NFL. It's like 2-17 right now. And I know, obviously, the team that's around him is just awful. As you mentioned, it's not even an NFL team. But how he kind of looked against a really good Denver Broncos defense this past week, he had season highs in completion attempts, yards, touchdowns even. But if you look a little bit behind the numbers, a lot of that, Mark, as you know, came in kind of garbage time once the game was already out of reach.
Yeah, he is not an NFL quarterback. He's a super, super nice kid. It's like, I'm not saying that he'll never be, but one, he's tiny, which always scares me. And then two, he just doesn't have, he doesn't have an NFL skill set. So, I don't know what you want to do or what you want to say, but none of the stuff looks like NFL quality or NFL caliber. player, that Andy Dalton by far gives you the best chance to win. And let's face it, in a season where you're already out of it and it's ugly, you owe it to your players to play the best players. And so, because if you don't, then you lose 100% of your credibility as a coach. And that, like, you can't have that. And the owner already circumvents everybody's authority anyhow. So if you're gonna maintain some dignity and and maintain a level of control of the organization, you can't play Bryce Young.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy your insights and your time, buddy. Thank you so much. Where are you headed this weekend?
I'm in Tennessee. I got the Titans this weekend. Oh, so
man, you drew a little straw there.
Bad teams. There you go, Mark.
Mark, you drew a little straw on that one. Man.
Yeah, very short straw. Titans, New England.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
You got it.
All righty. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. When we come back, it'll be our Pick 6 segment right here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our Pick 6 segment, joined by Steve Geller. Guys, let's do this pretty quick. So, Charlie?
Rock and roll. I'll just go through real quick what happened last week. Steve, you and I atop the list.
Oh, 4-2 records. You know something's going wrong and if I'm up top.
Yeah, no, it was fun, man. Bobby went 3-3. Mike, it came down to a Hail Mary from Jaden Daniels, but you fall to 2-4 this past week. So looking at the updated standings, I'm at 28-20. Mike, you're at 26-22. Bobby's at 20-28. And Steve is at 23-25. It's not a great week of action, guys. I picked three games from college football week 10 that I think are pretty interesting. And obviously the clear highlight here, number 4, Ohio State, opens as 3.5-point favorites at number 3, Penn State, for a day game. It feels like that should be a night game, shouldn't
it? Yeah, I agree with you totally. Rich Marty assured me Penn State would win, so I'm going to go with Penn State.
Okay.
I'm sticking with you and Rich for sure. I like Penn State getting 3 at home.
Maybe I'm mistaken here, guys. I just don't trust James Franklin one bit.
Neither do I, but that's
give me Ohio State minus 3.5. I'm with Bobby on this one. So this is a split right down the middle. I'm putting this down. Up next, we got number 10, Texas A&M, after a huge top 15 victory over LSU last weekend. They traveled to South Carolina. What a lot of people are saying could be a potential trap game, but they opened as 2.5-point favorites on the road, guys. Bobby's got A&M in this game, and I agree.
I liked the defense of the Gamecocks in this one, so give me the South Carolina at home.
There you go.
A&M. I think it's close, but, man, 2.5, that's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought this would be at least 5. You got 2.5? That goes to show you what they think of South Carolina's defense.
Correct, and that defensive line specifically. And then the other top 20 game that we have this weekend, guys, number 18 Pitt at number 20 SMU. SMU opens as 7.5-point favorites at home, guys.
I am rolling with all home teams in college this week, gentlemen. I got SMU here giving the 7.5.
You got A&M on the – oh, no, you have South Carolina. That's
right.
True.
No, okay. You got South Carolina.
Okay. I'm going with another road team here. So I'm actually the opposite, Steve. I'm going all road teams. Okay. Ohio State, A&M, and Pitt. Plus 7.5. I think SMU probably wins this game, but I don't think it's going to be by more than a touchdown.
Give me Pitt and the points.
I think Kyle McCord is still having nightmares about that game from last weekend.
God.
Bobby has SMU, so he agrees with you, Steve. Moving on, guys, we got NFL Week 9. The Saints open as 7-point favorites in Carolina.
I'm going with the Saints, but don't ask me why.
I'm with you, too, and I don't know who's going to be at quarterback, if it's Andy Dalton, Bryce Young, or it looking like Derek Carr for the Saints. But right now, I know it's definitely desperation mode if it hasn't been already for this black and gold squad. So I'm with you, Mike. I don't know why I'm giving the 7, but I'm doing it.
If it's Bryce, then I wouldn't even have thought about
Steve,
it.
Steve, you took the Saints.
I'm taking the Saints, right.
Yeah, this is a clean sweep. I didn't just listen to what Mark Schlereth had to say about Bryce Young there. And Little Bryce. No, I mean, we were kind of joking with Stink that he has the Tennessee-New England game. This game is just as bad.
Woof, right.
My goodness is, who pulled that straw when you're handing out assignments?
Well, who's pulling the Saints-Panthers straw, too, this weekend?
Yeah, that one ain't good, but, man, Tennessee – And the Patriots did win last week. But come on, man, the Jets are bad.
Yeah.
They bad and boring, too.
We got the straw, Charlie, for 8 a.m. pregame coverage.
Oh, yeah,
that one.
You know it, buddy.
Good luck.
Next, we have a really good game in the NFC, the Lions at the Packers. Detroit 3.5-point favorites in Green Bay, guys.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Lions here only because Jordan Love man, he's got a groin injury, and I, you know, that seems to be not something that's minor.
The Lions are lambasting everyone. Yeah. They're just blowing people out. I'm going with Detroit. Out. Yeah.
I went with the Lions, too, guys, for the same reason. Mike, I don't know what Jordan Love's status is for this one. Green Bay at home is a little scary, but, you know, when you don't have your main dude under center. Although, the backup's been pretty good.
And listen, Malik, man.
Yeah, he's got a job.
At Auburn and Liberty, and then he goes to the Titans. He didn't get no coaching there. None. I mean, it was bad. And then he pulls out wins with Green Bay. Goes to show coaching does matter in this world.
Yes, it does
matter.
And so this is the second straight clean sweep in the NFL action, guys. I got the Saints. Bobby's got the Saints. I got the Lions. Bobby's got the Lions. Everyone's got the Saints and Lions this week. So congratulations to the Panthers and Packers, obviously. Moving on to the Cowboys at the Falcons, wrapping it up with another NFC battle. I don't even want to call it a showdown because the Cowboys have kind of stunk this year.
Well, we know who Bobby's picking in this one.
Yeah, he's actually...
Oh, this is tough for him.
Yeah, well, I guess it's kind of up in there. He's got the Falcons, obviously.
Wait a minute. The Falcons cut him a check at one time.
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's true.
Come on. He ain't got nothing against Atlanta.
He constantly calls Dallas the cowgirl, so you know he's not going there.
The Falcons are 2.5-point favorites at home, and he's got the Falcons covering that 2.5
Falcons.
Points.
I'm rolling with Kirk Cousins and the Dirty Birds, too, man.
There is going to be no action on Sunday. Everything's going to be decided by Saturday, guys, because I also have the Falcons.
Wow, okay.
This is the first home team I'm picking in this entire thing, so we'll see how that works out for me.
All right, guys, we'll be back to finish it up here on hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelli along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. Charlie, is the Dodgers going to put it away tonight?
Boo.
Oh, it's all this booing.
I would like to see it be extended because this has been boring, guys.
My batting average is better than Judge's right now.
Could it
be any worse?
Like, as soon as it hits October, the dude just can't hit. He just loses. It's got to be a mental thing.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is I told you, eventually, when you got a talented team like the Dodgers, it falls in place. And you can see it now.
I hate the Dodgers.
I get you do on that. But, man, the Dodgers are just absolutely loaded.
Apparently, they're also going to be trying to get Juan Soto this offseason. So
you would figure one more piece of the puzzle. Steve, you got Ollie Cosell coming up, and he'll talk Pelicans. And we got a lot of Pelicans talk tonight.
For sure.
Pelicans Weekly starting at 8 o'clock tonight. But Ollie will bring you up to date on the Pels. 3 games so far, 2-1. It was another stinkle Sunday. But, man, they pulled one out Friday night.
Yeah, and the Pellies getting to deal with a back-to-back at Golden State. No Steph Curry's dealing with an ankle issue, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, so if you got a little coin, you know where to go.
Gotta play better than they did in Portland, guys.
Oh, it can't play any worse. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.